Well, I'm going to try something new this morning, use a few overheads and so on. So I have so many. I hope I don't get mixed up here. So if I do, you can flag me down, I guess. You will notice in your bulletins that you have room on both sides. So you may only be able to get the scriptures down. We're going to cover a lot of scriptures. But I want to give you an idea of Christ's longest day. We call this day Good Friday. Strange how it got that name, but it did. Probably the most common word of 2022 will be narrative. We want to look at a narrative. And I want to show you Christ's longest day. Every day is 24 hours long, but you don't get very old until you learn that some days are shorter than others and others are longer than others. Some days seem to never end, though there's only 24 hours in the day. The Lord's longest day began in the evening. You know, the evening in God's reckoning is the beginning of the day. That's when creation began. So Genesis 1 says six times, and the evening and the morning were, and then it gives the number of days. The Lord's longest day begins in the evening. And in Exodus chapter 12, when Israel was about to come out of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for many years and were forced to do hard labor, God was about to set them free. He had caused nine plagues to come on them, and now the tenth plague was about to be unleashed. 4 days earlier, on the tenth day of Nisan, God had told every family to take a lamb into their home, and here it became the family pet. Then on the 14th day, they were to kill the lamb in the evening and put some of the blood on the doorposts of their homes. It is what this day pictured that became the longest day in the life of Christ. I don't have time to explain in this message how he could eat the Passover one night with his disciples and the next night he died when the Passover lambs died. Let me just say, I believe it is because among the Jews at that time, some followed the solar calendar and some the lunar calendar. But here's what happened. On the day he would eat the Passover with his disciples, the day that the Passover lamb was slain, he sent them to prepare for the meal. This is the beginning of the day, and we're looking at the day we're commemorating today. On the Hebrew calendar, this was Nisan the 14th. So you might want to turn to Luke chapter 22. This longest day began as the sun set, and the disciples gathered with Christ in the upper room, and they had what we know as the Last Supper. On our clock, we start probably about 6:30. That is the time of sunset in Israel at this time of year. And so I'll take that first slide, if we could turn the overhead on. Here's a picture of I'm going to show you a picture of Jerusalem, but it would have been different in the time of Christ. We're at about 6:30 in the evening. And I'll take the second slide. I want to show you a picture of Jerusalem. And the upper room is the blue spot you see on the map, roughly there. So we begin in Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So he said to them, they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room there, make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. By the time this meal is over, we are somewhere between 7 and 8 o'clock in the evening. For the Jews, the day has just begun. We go then to Matthew 26, and you'll want to keep your finger in Matthew 26 probably for the rest of the message. You see, when they left the Last Supper, they would have walked through part of the city of Jerusalem and out the Sheep Gate and down into the Kidron Valley. And then, let me just show you that. Then partway up the Mount of Olives. Now, it doesn't look like a mountain from there, but it goes up quite a ways. So this is where he would have gone to go to Mary and Martha's for night. So he makes a stop at Gethsemane, and that is the next blue spot that you see there. So every day he went from Jerusalem to Bethany to stay with Mary and Martha. He would have went up the Mount of Olives and just over the other side. It is surprising to me that he didn't have the Lord's Supper with Mary and Martha, but it probably was because of the significance it would carry from there on. On the way to Gethsemane, he told the disciples many things. Now, if you follow the yellow line, during that time, we could read John 13, 33 to 17, 26. It all took place on this trip. Luke 22, 31 to 22, 38, we could read as well. And what we're going to read in here, Matthew 26 now, from verse 30 to 35. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. We are now at about 10 o'clock in the evening. And we'll read on now. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples, found them asleep, and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. You see, we're later in the evening, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same thing, same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now, if we started here at Gethsemane at 10 o'clock in the evening, what time is it now? It is now about 1 o'clock in the morning. He would now have carried on to Mary and Martha's, but something took place that changed his mind. We go to verse 47. And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Excuse me. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Now, you say in Matthew, I'm going to read John 18, 4 through 9 here. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you have given me, I have lost none.'" We go to verse 50 now. "Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Peter said to him, 'Put your sword in this place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?' How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He had prayed about 3 hours, and by now, at this time, we're probably at about 1:30. And after the soldiers took Jesus, they led him to Annas first. Matthew's gospel skips that Jesus was first taken to Annas. I'll read John 18:3, "And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year." By the way, their secular rulers set their high priest at this time. Rome was in charge. So things had developed to where the Roman government placed Jewish high priests, and Annas was appointed by Quirinius and deposed by Valerius around AD 15. He had 5 sons who were also high priests, and now Caiaphas, his son-in-law, was high priest. We are not told what happened at Annas' place, but we are now, I think, at around probably 3 o'clock. I think that's not correct here. This is Annas' place, and we're around 3 o'clock. I expect Annas did not want this case. John 18:24 then says, "Now Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest." So Annas wanted this case off his hands. We're like they're around 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're now headed for Caiaphas' palace. We pick up the account in Matthew 26:57, and those who had laid hands on hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at the last, 2 false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes. Can you picture this? You have to picture it. The high priest tearing his clothes. It shows extreme disgust here, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" Well, he's already told them what to think, right? They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. Now you have to understand, here is the Creator himself, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." Let me insert a few verses here from John 18 that Matthew does not record. I'll read it from 18 through 25. "Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Then Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of the hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, Are you not also one of his disciples?" He denied it again and said, "I am not." We go now to Matthew, your Matthew's Gospel, yet verse 72. "But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later those who stood by came and said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately a rooster crowed." And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. I expect that we are now somewhere around 5:30 in the morning. It has been a long night. Remember, he hasn't slept since the night before. Caiaphas and the Jews have concluded that Jesus is worthy of death, but they do not have authority to crucify him, and so they will now send him to the Roman authority, and that is Pilate. And they want to have Pilate okay the death. They're not far apart where they were, is in my understanding. So Matthew 27. When morning came, verse 1, "When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful to put them in the treasury because they are the price of blood.' And they consulted together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced. and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. We are now at about 5:30. In the very same night Judas betrayed Jesus, the very same night, for money, the very same night he took his own life. Oh, the deceitfulness of riches. He died probably between 5:30 and 6 o'clock somewhere. Well, Jesus has now been brought before Pilate, and what happens to him now will be determined here. I'm going to read from John 18. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled. Now think of this. Think of the religiosity here. But that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Now, is that an answer? Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered him, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Listen to that. Are you of the truth? Am I of the truth? Then I hear his voice. And when I do not hear his voice, I am not of the truth. That's simple. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and he said to them, listen, what did he say? "I find no fault in him." We are now at 6:30. I think I went too far. We'll pick it up there. Oop, how come I'm sitting? Now, if you would read on in John or Matthew or Mark, there is one step you would miss in all those Gospels. Only Luke records it. When Pilate found out Jesus was from Herod's jurisdiction, you know, he was no different than Annas. He wanted him off his hands. When he found out he was from Herod's jurisdiction, he is happy to get him off his hands and sends him to Herod. We may be around 6:30 at this time. I think where Pilate was to where Herod was quite close together. And so the places are not far apart. And both of them were not far from where Caiaphas was, in my understanding. Now, he goes to Herod, and I'll read from Luke 22, 1-12. "Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We have found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the king?' And Pilate asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews then?' He answered him and said, 'It is as you say.' So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, 'I find no fault in him.' But they were the more fierce, saying, 'He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place.' When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired to see him for a long time." So he's heard a lot of things, and he'd like to see this man. And he hoped, anybody remember what he hoped for? To see some miracle. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. I would say that we are now around 7:30. And about 13 or 14 hours into this long day has passed. Jesus has not slept for over 24 hours. When Herod did not get to see a miracle, verse 11 says, then Herod with his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Jesus is now taken from Herod back to Pilate. Matthew says Pilate knew that the Jews had delivered Jesus to him out of, anybody know? Envy. Envy and jealousy. Do you remember this thing? Then his wife had warned him about a dream she had, and it had caused her much suffering. She told Pilate to have nothing to do with this man. So Pilate wanted to get this case off his hands. Well, he found a way to try to get it off his hands. It was a custom to release one prisoner to the people. And so he picked a notable prisoner. He thought they will never say they want Jesus free. They would, that they would want this man free and save Jesus. So he picked a notable prisoner named Barnabas that he was sure they would not want released. And then he called the chief priests and leaders of the Jews and he asked whom they would like released, Jesus or Barabbas. And to Pilate's chagrin, they never hesitated. They wanted the murderer released. Then he said, what do you want me to do with Jesus then? And they said, crucify him. You see, he gave in to people pressure. Crucify Jesus. We begin now, and I'll read John 19:1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now you have to picture this. The cat of nine tails and lashes till the back hangs in ribbons. It's so easy to read over some of these words and not comprehend the picture. Scourging was a horrible procedure. Verse 2, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, hail, King of the Jews, and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus said, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. You need to read the last song over we sang again. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Listen to these people. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar, as if they were for Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. That was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." What is the time now? I think we're around 8 o'clock. Jesus will now be taken to Golgotha, the place he will be crucified. We go, I'll read Luke, unless you want to turn to it, keep your finger there and turn to Luke chapter 23. Beginning in verse 26, "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian." So what nationality do you think, what color do you think he would be? Black, probably a dark man, "who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and the women also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren wombs, and that never bore, and breasts that were never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?' There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death." We are now probably at about 8:30. Jesus is now crucified, and he will be on the cross until he dies. Luke 22:33-38 now says, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves. Save yourself.' And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" John 19:16-18 then adds, "Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on the either side, Jesus in the center." Now the place is Golgotha, and it's the yellow dot on the map. We have come to about 9 o'clock in the morning. We are now about 15 hours into this long day and probably 27 hours without sleep. After the soldiers had crucified Jesus with their deed done, they now sit down and watch. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he and the land are now covered in darkness. It will take us until 12 noon. I'll read Matthew 27 now. You may follow that in Matthew 27:33-36. "Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" You know what it is like when you are let down by your best friend, especially to something of this nature? My God, why you of all people have forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." What time is it after 3 hours of darkness? Well, we were at about 3 p.m. One wonders, here's what I've wondered. What did the Jews think when it turned dark? Do you know that everything is done when it turns dark or comes light? That's where your day is determined. Now in the middle of the day, it turns dark. And I wondered, what did these Jews think? You know, I've been studying a little on Ezekiel 37 and 38. And what struck me this time as I went through the book of Revelation is what in the end of the tribulation, what happens at that time is so indescribable, where the majority of mankind dies on, or a big part of mankind dies under one of the plagues or so on. And what has struck me is that in the end of the book of Revelation, we come to 3 times when it says, "And they repented not." Now look at this. Look at this. It turns dark for 3 hours. When has this ever happened before? It has never happened before. And when it gets light, they go about their crucifixion duties. So what happened now? Well, Matthew 27, 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed, offered it to him to drink. The rest said, 'Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." We have arrived at the time of his death. And we know the time. We have it here. And when Christ died, the lights came back on. How long Jesus hung on the cross before he died, we don't know for sure. What we know is he died before people usually die when they are crucified. You know, some people live for several days on the cross. You know what it's like on the cross? I think I've described it to you. They're nailed in the hands. The feet are placed like this, one nail driven through there, and you can't breathe. And in order to breathe, you have to pull on these nails and push on these to get up high enough to get breath, and then you go back down. You can think of this for hours and hours on end. That's now what happened is the thieves lived longer. John 19, 31 through 31, 7 says this, listen to it. "Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day." Now, a lot of people make a mistake from this Sabbath. This is not the 7-day Sabbath. The Passover feast began with a Sabbath. It ended 7 days later with a Sabbath anywhere during the week. "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him." Now, somebody tell me, why did they break their legs? They can no longer breathe. So they're going to get it over with, so they can take care of these before the Sabbath comes. "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs." Now, what's interesting, The Old Testament said that no bone in his body would be broken. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled, not one of his bones should be broken. And again another scripture, they shall look on him whom they pierced. We are now likely at about 4 o'clock. Jesus is now taken to the grave. It will have taken Joseph some time to go get permission to have the body, gather the materials, and transport Jesus to the tomb, a tomb that he had hewn out for himself, and we're going there. John 19:38-42 says, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby." What time is it? Somewhere about the time we started this day. He was buried shortly before sundown. He will now be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. His awful and long day has come to a close. But there is good news. This is not the end of the narrative. A certain songwriter says that the darkest time of the night is just before it gets light. Sunday is the brightest day in all of history for mankind. Listen. You would die and go to hell. He did this, all of what we've seen today, he did it for you and you and me. This afternoon, we're going to commemorate this death with a communion service. The thought will be one I picked up in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, you know what it says? He purged us from our sins by himself. It is not describable. He purged us from our sins. There is not a human being that has ever lived or will ever live for whom he did not pay the price. It requires but true repentance and true faith to be purged from our sins. I pondered this morning, sin. I'm going to tell you why we do not have revival in La Crete. Do you know why we do not have revival in La Crete? Because so many of us do not see something about ourselves. It is so easy to be blind to ourselves and to live between the steps. And I've been thinking of the last while, the great need for revival in our land. Our land. We can live oblivious to our own sin. I do not know if I see mine. Only when God steps down and someone can penetrate the heart and reveal to us who we are, do we come to the place of repentance. Let me tell you this about repentance. I don't know that it is otherwise. When we have some sin that is of any magnitude, any size, repentance is the very last thing we will do. I found a strange thing. I can say something nasty to my wife or something I knew I shouldn't have said, and find out how hard it is to go and say, name my thing and repent for. O Lord, that we might honestly see ourselves and avail ourselves of this purging. Why did Jesus go through all of what we saw here today? He did it for me. He did it for you.